wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My subject is neither inviting to my listeners nor pleasing to this preacher, but in the fear of God, I must not detour around this solemn revelation of God's holy word, but declare it unto you. Nor is there any way to sugar it down or even sugarcoat it. It is bitter, and its contemplation is awful and must be taken as it really is. I want to speak to you about the wrath of Almighty God and answer the question, what is it like? What subject should more vitally interest you and me? Suppose the radio suddenly announced a furious windstorm that struck this town and that village, and so many were killed and buildings in rubble, and it was moving fast in your direction, and your settlement was next for it to strike. You would breathlessly listen to every word and then rush to gather your family into some hiding place. My message will report to you what the wrath of Almighty God did, and you may be the next one for it to strike. So hearken. I believe with all my heart that God's word is true and God's wrath lies ahead for every unrepentant sinner. What is that wrath like? Where can it be seen? We might, with the lamp of God's word, visit the lost in the flames and agony of hellfire today, or anticipate the wicked in that day when they shall call on the hills to hide them from the wrath of God, or consider that lake of fire where their conscious torment never ends. These all make known to us the wrath of God which is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But I will confine myself to the greatest, the plainest revelation of God's wrath, as we see one man enduring the wrath of God, and he a mighty man, and yet brought down in distracting agony under the wrath of Almighty God. Who is that man? Where was that place? The man is Jesus of Nazareth. The place was the cross of Calvary. As we draw near, we hear an awful wail. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Let us now see the wrath of God in slow motion so as to consider some of its details. And yet all was so condensed at Calvary's cross that Jesus suffered in just 3 hours the wrath of God that my sins deserved, which would have been for me an unending eternity of punishment. So, while looking at what seems to be but details, we are dealing with matters of great eternal import. We sing, Jesus paid it all. But remember, what he paid was what I owed God, and what he suffered was what I deserved to suffer, at God's hand for my ungodliness and at man's hand for my unrighteousness. Jesus suffered at both the hand of God and of man, and so is the wrath of God. Calvary, the fullest revelation of man's wickedness, is also the greatest revelation of God's punishment of man's sin. Calvary, the greatest revelation of God's love, is also the supreme unveiling of God's wrath. Calvary's cross will then reveal to us the wrath of God that awaits everyone out of Christ in eternity. Jesus himself described Calvary as the day of God's fierce anger. Neighbor, if your sins are not forgiven, you know that one day you must meet God, and it will be the day of his fierce anger for you. Come with me then to Calvary's cross, and let us learn what is ahead for you. We shall first consider some of the details that man had a hand in. We read, they bound Jesus and led him away. And one day, sinner, you shall be bound hand and foot. Today, God gives you a loose rope. Your hands are free, and you do what you want to do. Your feet are not in fetters, and you go wherever you want to go. But one day, God will command his angels, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus was led into the common hall, and he was numbered with the transgressors, even thieves and malefactors. You resented God's word that declared, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For you counted yourself as the better sort. But in that day, you shall go to your own place and find yourself with your own crowd. And who will they be? Listen as God lists them: the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Neighbor, repent today as only a common sinner, as low as the lowest, as vile as the vilest, and be converted. Remember, your pride will be smashed by Almighty God, now in repentance or then in judgment. Jesus saw a wicked murderer chosen while he was cast out. And you, proud sinner, counted yourself so superior to others as you sought to be popular, and you would not repent. You scorned the repentant alcoholic and the weeping harlot, the poor and needy that sought the Lord you disdained. But in that day you shall see them chosen by God and proclaimed by all heaven as his children, while you shall be cast out. You despise the Chinaman for his skin and the heathen for his ignorance, but these shall come from the east and from the west and sit down in God's kingdom, while you shall be disowned as filthy abomination. They stripped Jesus. His robes were taken from him. And one day you will be stripped of every thread of the garments of your self-righteousness. You clung to them in life as you paraded your good deeds. But in that day you will be stripped of them. God told you they were only filthy rags and abomination in his sight, and that you had no goodness and no righteousness. In the day of judgment, they will all vanish away, and you will stand naked and open before the eyes of God with whom you have to do. In that day you will cry like Adam, "I am naked." You shall look on others, but they are clothed in heavenly robes of righteousness and with the garments of salvation. You shall be like a man without the wedding garment, and shall be cast out in shame and nakedness. As Jesus hung on Calvary, they cried at him, "Save thyself and come down." You have talked big about your going to heaven your way. You didn't need a Savior. You could make it yourself. And you have paid your church to keep you out of hell. But in that day, when you miss heaven and sink into hellfire, angels will chide you as they cry, "So you didn't need Jesus Christ to save you. Why don't you save yourself now? Pull yourself out of hell. Ascend into heaven if you can. Why doesn't your church help you now?" Your big talk of earth will echo in your ears, and your vain folly will torment you with its stinging pangs forever. Of Jesus we read, his visage was so marred more than any man. In this life you thought more of your face than you did of your soul. You doctored it with the world's make-believe. You practiced before the mirror in the art of drama so that you could smile sweetly at a person whom you inwardly hated. But in that day, your make-believe will all vanish. Your face will display every corruption of your desperately wicked heart. God's judgment throne shall shine like a huge mirror, and you shall see your face with its horrible expressions of sin. You shall recognize it as your face, and now it witnesses against you. It tells the truth on you, and that truth makes you shudder. Jesus was spit on in contempt and shame, and when you are judged and your record is read from God's book, you will blush with shame as you cry to the mountains to fall on you and hide you. The angels shall hiss you in contempt as they reach forward to seize you and cast you out of God's presence. God's word will then be fulfilled. I quote, "They shall awake to shame and everlasting contempt. You sought fame here, but you shall find shame there. You labored for the cheers and claps of earth, but you shall receive the scorn and hissing of heaven." Jesus was dumb, so opened he not his mouth. Neighbor, I'm telling you the truth. When you face God in judgment, your big talk will all stop. You've talked your way out of many a case, but when before God, your tongue will be tied tight. At Calvary they cried, "Answerest thou nothing?" They shall so chide you in the day of judgment. You knew the Bible declared that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, but you weren't going to submit to God's verdict and own up to your sin. You had something to say about it. In that day, they will await what you have to say, but you will say nothing. Your dumb silence will acknowledge that God is just in condemning you. Right now, consider this. It is a challenge of heaven. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? At Calvary, Jesus saw Pilate wash his hands of his blood, as he said, "I am innocent of the blood of this man." When you are judged, you shall see the apostles of Christ wash their hands of your blood, for they wrote to you God's word to warn and win you. They are pure of your blood. Your Sunday school teachers shall wash their hands of your blood. Yes, and Christian parents too, and that godly mate of yours, that tract distributor, and your Christian neighbors shall all wash their hands of your blood. And those evangelists who came to your town in person, as well as those who came over the airwaves to you, they shall all wash their hands of your blood, for they faithfully warned you of God's wrath, and they told you of God's grace as they called upon you to repent and to surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you laughed it off and went your own way. But you won't laugh then. Was there ever such a hand washing? Were ever so many people sent by God to warn one man? And then a voice is heard, but no person is seen. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It is the Holy Spirit. He tells how he sought to convict and convert you, but you always resisted the Holy Ghost. So now comes God's final verdict. His blood shall be upon his own head, for he has refused all my witnesses. Neighbor, when you experience all of this and more, you will wish you had never been born. If only there were some way you could be annihilated, but there is none. I hope by now many of you are crying out, preacher, stop, please stop. I can't stand hearing anymore. I'm willing if you're ready to repent. If you ask, preacher, what can I do about this awful situation? Gladly I point you back to that same man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and to that same place, Calvary's cross. Listen, neighbor, to the good news. Christ died for our sins. And if that isn't plain enough, hear this. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. He took my place and bore my very sins. That's why all those things happened to Jesus, my Savior. Here's what I've done and millions more, and you can do this right now. I junked my pride and repented of my sins, and I received Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. And when I did, then his sacrifice availed for me. His suffering released me from what I deserved, God's eternal wrath. Calvary's cross, that was the warning of God's wrath, is now the assurance of God's grace to me. To my blessed Lord Jesus be the praise forever. And I can't help but say hallelujah. Neighbor, stop where you are on that broad road to the eternal wrath of God. Turn back to God and call on the Lord Jesus to save you. Has not God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? The Lord Jesus will be your substitute Savior, settling your account with God. Only as you are one who truly repents of your sins against God and you entrust yourself to him as your Lord and King, your Savior and Deliverer, delivering you from your sins and from the wrath of God which they deserve. Neighbor, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute Savior. May you now come to him crying with a whole heart, as the hymn says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.